is my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Hello, brethren. God bless you. We're so glad you can join us today. We've been doing some studies into the end times and concerning the first fruits. And let's pray just a moment. And so that the Lord will be with us and He'll be with you to understand what I'm going to share. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to just give us eyes and ears today, Lord. Lord, we're at your mercy, Father. Our soul cleaveth to the earth, Lord, but Lord, you set us free. You set us free to be able to understand heavenly things, Lord. And we thank you that without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. And that you do work in us to willing to do of your good pleasure, Lord. And that you give us these eyes to see heavenly things and ears to hear heavenly things. Even though all earthly nature is contrary to us, Lord, you give us grace. And we give thanks unto you, Father, because you're going to finish the good work that you started in us. And we just praise you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I was thinking about taking off where we kind of left off in Revelation chapter 12. And, you know, a lot of people read this story in Revelation 12, and they think maybe because of the letter, I guess, that this is talking about Jesus. And the reason is it's very, very similar. You know, and verse 1 says, and a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, and a moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. She crieth out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And in verse 5, and she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Well, you know, the reason that this looks so similar to Jesus being born to the Virgin Mary and receiving authority over the nations is because it's a repetition of history. You see, the Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. God repeats history. And the Lord, years ago, gave me something that I may have shared with you before, I'm not sure, but that has never ceased to bear fruit in my mind. It's one of those revelations that just keeps coming back and showing you more and more and more and more. And he told me that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to happen again in the end time, except the cast of characters is going to be multiplied many times over. Now, you notice in the book of Revelation that characters in the book of Revelation represent groups of people, you know, like the harlot, like this woman, and even this man-child represent multitudes of people in the end time. And it's because when God repeats history, he just keeps repeating it with larger and larger groups of people. Well, this does look like Jesus, doesn't it? And I want to tell you who this man-child is. Goes on to teach the woman in the wilderness for 3.5 years and to nourish the woman in the wilderness. You say 3.5 years? That's exactly what Jesus did. Yes, that's right. And Jesus, by the way, told us in John chapter 16, his plan, a plan that most people don't know about. They don't understand. God's people are just getting prepared to fly away. They're not prepared to see what the Lord's about to do in the earth. And I'm going to read John 16, verse 19. Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and they said unto him, do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said a little while, and you shall behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, he's going to explain this. He said, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. So here's a woman in travail, in sorrow, bringing forth a man-child. Verse 22, and ye therefore now have sorrow. So he's basically saying that the church is the woman in travail, the woman in sorrow, the church. See, he was speaking to the called out ones, the ecclesia. And he says, and ye therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again. See, the woman rejoiced when she saw the man-child. And here the Lord says, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. And in that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. This is an indication of the power that God's people are going to have at the time that the man-child is born. Well, folks, you can read from right here in John 16 all the way through the Bible, the rest of the Bible, and you come to that man-child in Revelation chapter 12. And who did Jesus say he was? He said, I will see you again. A lot of God's people do not understand how that the Lord is coming in his people before he comes for his people. This is so important because we are so filled with the traditions of men, and we're not settling for what God has promised to give us. You know, for instance, turn with me to Hosea. I hope you got your Bibles. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 6. You know, Jesus promised to come back in this way. Before he comes in the clouds, he's coming in his people. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what I'm going to show you. In fact, I'll back up just a little bit. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, I will go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and in their affliction they will seek me earnestly. You know, when Jesus left, he left his the power of his presence left this earth, and basically he said that when in their affliction they seek him, he will return. And chapter 6 and verse 1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. Do you know that all the way through the Bible, it uses these 2 days or 3 days or 6 days or 7 days to indicate timing. And from the time of Adam, the first Adam, we have now come to the morning of the seventh day. But from the second Adam, which is also one measurement of these days, for a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. From the second Adam, we've now come these 2 days. It says, after 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day, which is where we are now, we're on the morning of the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. This is a prophetic timing that God gave us in the Bible. And Jesus, of course, did promise to come back after these 2 days. He said, and let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Now, I dare say that most of God's people don't expect Jesus coming as the latter rain on the morning of the third day. It does not say he's coming in the clouds take his people away. It says he's coming as the latter rain on the morning of the third day. Let me point out something to you. When Jesus came the first time in the Gospels, he came as the former rain. That's right. When he started his ministry in A.D. 27, he was anointed with the former rain to do those mighty signs and wonders and miracles and to give forth that awesome truth that he gave. And at the end of that 3.5 years where he trained the woman, which was the church in that day, he breathed on his disciples and he poured out the former rain. 10 days later, a rushing mighty wind came into the room and the disciples began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the former rain. Well, that is going to be repeated in our day, except through a much larger group of people. The man-child is none other than Jesus manifested in the flesh. You know, we call ourselves the body of Christ. Well, in the body of Christ, Christ lives. So if you truly are the body of Christ, he lives in you. Well, the first fruits in our day that we call the man-child, these are the first fruits to fully manifest Christ. You say, can God do that? Well, of course he can. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you another witness here. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of these shall one come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Now, we know that was Jesus, right? Whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up. Now, here's the same thing we just saw in Hosea. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth. There it is. Until the church brings forth the end time man child, he is going to give them up. Interesting. Why was he giving them up? He was giving them up to their own religious ways, exactly like he did Israel, to go their own way, do their own thing, have their own religion, and proclaim that God was in it, even though he wasn't. She who travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant or residue of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Do you know that after the man-child's ministry, the remnant of natural Jews that are to be brought into the kingdom will return to the children of Israel? And the children of Israel, that's who we are, folks. We've been grafted into the olive tree. We've been circumcised in heart, not in flesh. Paul called us the children of Israel. And, verse 4, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Jesus is coming to feed his flock. He's coming in the man-child to feed his flock. What an awesome miracle. Awesome miracles. Great signs and wonders we're going to see. This is how it's going to work. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Follow with me now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You say, how can Jesus come in a body of people? He's been doing it for thousands of years, folks. He's just going to do a better job of it in these days, that's all. And it's going to be because God's people begin to believe what the Word of God says. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, he will come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you is believed in that day. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, but we all, with an unveiled face, behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Notice, this is the gospel. This is the true gospel. This is the true gospel we must believe in order to have Christ manifested in us. And it is to behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul taught us in Galatians 2 and 20 that we were crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, the Lord said, Paul said, that he didn't live anymore. Christ lived in him. Do you think he manifested the fullness of Christ, or was he speaking a word of faith? He was beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And because he believed the gospel, that he didn't live anymore, and Christ lived in him, the Lord was able to continue the process of manifesting his Son in him. And so it says, We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The glory of the Lord is being manifested in God's people. What the devil doesn't want you to know in these days, especially if you've listened to any of these apostate religious institutions out there, he doesn't want you to understand the simplicity of the gospel. In chapter 4, in verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them." You see, the devil does not want you to know how simple this is. He doesn't want you to know about this light of the glory of the gospel and how it's manifested in you. In verse 6 it says, "Seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness." See what glory is? The glory is the light shining out of us. The light of the glory of God shining out of us. And he says, "Light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts." That's the darkness that the light is shining from. "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." To those who behold Jesus in the mirror, to those that believe that they no longer live, Galatians 2 and 20, but that Christ now lives in them, they believe it by faith, they accept it by faith, because of the exchange that was made at the cross, to these people, God is able to manifest this grace. Go on down to verse 10. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. What body is he talking about? He's talking about this physical body. And that word manifested, do you know what it means? To cause to shine. You see, the life of Christ is going to shine out. It's called the glory of God. It's caused to shine out of those people in whom he is being manifested. The word means to cause to shine. It also means to become visible. You know that the light is becoming brighter and brighter and brighter in you. As you humbly submit to the Word of God, as you repent and as you believe the gospel, that you don't live anymore, that when you were baptized and went down in that water, that Christ came up, that you died with him, as the Bible clearly says. You're accepting this fact and you're believing that God is able to bring it to pass. Verse 11, "For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." I dare say most people don't have that hope of the gospel, that the life of Jesus would be manifested in their mortal flesh. The word manifested here is the same word. It means to cause to shine in their mortal flesh, to become visible in their mortal flesh. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. Well, look at Colossians. There's another testimony there in Colossians concerning this glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above." Notice, he counts it as a past thing. You know, something that is done. We have already been raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know? So he says, "Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died." You died. You died with Christ. The old man, the sinner, died with Christ. You know, the false gospel that we hear nowadays, that you're a sinner saved by grace, you have to base everything in the scriptures, folks. There's no verse that says that. Not a one. We're not sinners. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, shall be made visible, shall be caused to shine. Then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. Isn't that awesome? The glory of God will manifest in God's people. You know, Paul called this a mystery that was hidden before his days. In verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26, even the mystery which has been hid for ages and generations, but now hath been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see what glory is? It is Christ in you. It is him shining forth out of you. This is God's plan for his people. It always has been from the beginning. False ministers have taken away this gospel and replaced it with a gospel that permits God's people to live in the flesh and be justified by living in the flesh. Let me show you that word manifested again in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, this is the same word manifested. You notice my Bible says, if he shall be manifested, because some Bibles say, when he shall appear, which has no relationship to the truth. The truth is the ancient manuscripts and the numeric pattern. God wrote his whole Bible in a numeric pattern that you couldn't add a letter or take out a letter without ruining this pattern. And the numeric pattern proves that the word is if here, not when. Because we know that the coming of the Lord is a when. It's not an if. We know the Lord is coming. But that's not the uncertain thing here. The uncertain thing is he coming in you? You see, we know he's coming for his people, but is he coming in you? And the word manifested here to cause to shine or to make visible is the same word. Now listen to it again. And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Do you know when you won't be shamed when you are faced with Jesus? If he lives in you. The word coming here, before him at his coming, is the same word other places in the Bible, like the famous verse in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15, you know, about the coming of the Lord. This is talking about the physical coming of the Lord. But the verse we're looking at here, manifested, or sometimes translated appear, has nothing to do with the physical coming of the Lord. It has to do with his coming manifested in his people. You see, if you take this, like some translations have it, which are false, when he shall appear, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Notice, they got him coming twice there in one verse. It's not talking about that. It's talking about him coming in his people and then coming for his people. That's what the words actually mean. Now, we got another witness of this. 1 John 3, for instance. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God. That's right, the word here is children, not sons. The word is technon, it's translated children. Sons is huios. You know, we start out as a child of God, we manifest sonship. Sonship is Jesus Christ. It's walking in his steps, you see. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. In other words, it's not yet fully manifested that Christ is shining out of us in his fullness, you see. But he goes on, he says, we know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. Notice, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. If he shall be manifested. Let me point out something to you. Did you know that the received text, or textus receptus, as some people call it, it has if here too, not when. Wind destroys the whole purpose of this verse. The ancient manuscripts all have if here. The numeric pattern has if here. We know that if he shall be manifested, that's caused to appear or caused to shine in his people, we shall be like him. That's very clear, isn't it? For we shall see him even as he is. You know what? Only the people who see Jesus as he is will manifest him. Do you understand that we have to accept the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes. And the gospel is this, that you do not live anymore. You were crucified with Christ. He's the one that lives in that body right now, and that's why you're called the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not for you to live in. The body of Christ is for him to live in. This is the whole point. We have to change our mind. We have to walk by faith. We have to call the things that be not as though they were. This is the hope that religion destroys among God's people. And the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God would not dawn upon them. Verse 3 goes on, and everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Everyone that has this hope purifies himself. See, many people are waiting on God to purify them. But God's already did what he's going to do, and that he did it at the cross. He accomplished reconciliation. You know what reconciliation is? An exchange. He gave his life for your life. He exchanged his life for your life. He gave you his righteousness. He took your sin and put it on the cross. He crucified your old man. He gave you the new man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 goes on to talk about the glory of Christ manifested in his people. And it was the new man, the born again man. See, everyone that has this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And everyone who doeth sin doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins. And in him is no sin. Did you know that? Are you the body of Christ? Well, in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. You see, folks, we're learning to abide in Christ. The more we abide in him, the more his glory will abide in us. These are the days when God promised that he was going to do this thing. For instance, I'm going to read this verse to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I quoted part of it to you a while ago. Verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified, that's that glory we're talking about, in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. See, the Apostle Paul was talking about a day coming down the road in which the people of God were going to believe this gospel again. This mystery that's been hidden for ages, Paul said, that he revealed in his day, was lost again. Why was it lost again? Because Christianity appointed leaders after their own liking. Not people who had followed the Lord, not people who had followed his word, not people who had been raised up by him, people who Bible colleges had raised up, kind of like in Jesus' day. The Bible colleges raised up the Pharisees and Sadducees. But there were these ignorant fishermen who were following Jesus, manifesting him. And in these days, folks, let me tell you, the great move of God is not going to come through the Bible colleges. It's going to come through the people who have drawn close to him. They've walked with the Lord. You know, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, they took knowledge of the fact that those fishermen had been with Jesus. They saw it. Verse 11. To which end we also pray always for you that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. The word name, by the way, in the New Testament, onoma, it means nature, character, and authority. So that the nature, character, and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That's what it is to be glorified, folks. We're not talking about having the Jesus of religion these days glorified in us. If you sit under them and you believe their gospel, you may end up being another Jesus. Because, notice, the nature, character, and authority of our Lord Jesus being glorified in you. You know what it is to be a Christian? Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And these signs will accompany them that believe. And he gives a list of great signs and wonders. Casting out demons, healing the sick, so on and so forth. So you see, when Jesus is glorified in you, his authority is glorified in you too. And he said that was going to come in the days when God's people were once again going to believe the testimony that Paul gave of this marvelous gospel. That the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by grace, brethren, that God is going to do this thing. It is not by our works. God has desired in these days to return a people to the gospel that was given in the beginning. And he's going to do it. Let me show you this word. We looked at phaneru, which is translated manifested in my Bible. Some appeared or whatever. But we see that it's clearly talking about the appearing of Christ in us. Okay. But there's another word that uses the same word. It's called epiphania. In other words, it's phaneru with a prefix, an epi, which means to shine forth, to shine forth. Let me show you that word. In Titus chapter 2, we're not talking about a shining out of heaven upon us. We're talking about the shining of Jesus out of us. The whole world is going to see this, folks, just like they saw it in Jesus' day. They saw God in him. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Actually, the numerics corrects my Bible here, and it says, that hath appeared to all men, bringing salvation. Actually, God hasn't given salvation to all men, has he? We know who he's given it to. We can see that. But he has brought salvation. And it is available to whosoever will, right? For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, some people don't even feel that they have a hope of that. But you see, if Jesus lives in you, you can do this. See? And Jesus lives in you. If you're a Christian and you've been baptized, why did you go down in that water? You went down in that water so that that old man would be put away, buried, and that the new man would come up, and that's Jesus. You know, the Bible says, no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Do you understand who's going to heaven? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ in you. You know who your born-again man is, your spiritual man? That's Jesus Christ in you. You know, to the extent you have the new nature that's born from above, to the extent that you have that, to that extent, Jesus is living in you. And to the extent you're still living the old life, the old man's still alive. You see, how do you get deliverance from that carnal life? It is through faith in the gospel. It is through the good confession that is to be given in the sight of many witnesses. like Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the Lord gave himself for us. He made an exchange. He gave us the gift of righteousness, Romans calls it. He gave us the gift of eternal life. And that eternal life is, the Bible says, in his Son. Okay, let me read on here. Verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory. This word appearing here, by the way, is that word epiphania. It means a shining forth. Are you looking for the blessed hope? The shining forth of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ? This is what we're supposed to be expecting. This is what people with faith do. They expect the fullness of what God gave, which is this exchange, the word reconciliation, the exchange of Christ being manifested in us. Verse 14, who gave himself for us. There it is, right there. That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. That's what the epiphany is. It's the epi in front of the pheniru, a shining forth, not just a causing to shine, but a shining forth. Did you know the bride's garment in Revelation 19? It said that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The word bright there is lampros. The bride's garment is a lampros, like a light shining, radiant. Did you know that the people that followed Jesus on a white horse, their garments were just white? But the bride's garments were lampros, radiant, glowing, you see. And so we're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory, the shining forth of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. See, God didn't do this for no purpose. You know, people don't have the hope of what the gospel actually means. They've been listening to an antichrist gospel. Did you know that? Let me read you one more verse. I'm going to show you what the antichrist gospel is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 7, verse 8. You know, we have to fight the good fight of faith. It's a warfare to come into the image of Jesus Christ. But these are the days when they're going to believe Paul's testimony, and he's going to come to be glorified in his saints. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Well, now, the faith is not just what you believe about God. The faith is believing something that you don't even see with your eyes. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not even seen. Faith is when you proclaim Jesus lives in you because the Bible says that, not because you see it with your eyes. Faith is looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus when your flesh is screaming out to you, the old man lives. Where does our power come from? It comes from faith. Our access to grace, Romans 5 says, is through faith. Do you need the favor of God to walk in the image of Jesus Christ? Then start looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. You can't save yourself. You can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not possible. It has to come as a gift from God, and it only comes from him if you walk by faith. The Bible says, by one offering he hath perfected them that are sanctified. Jesus gave us perfection at the cross, folks. It's his free gift to us. We have to accept it. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Don't say you can't be perfect. You're denying the gospel. You're denying the word of Jesus Christ. It's not our idea of perfection. It's God's idea of perfection for each one of us. See, don't deny the word of God. You know, Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Very important what you believe, because you're going to get however you believe. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his epiphany. There it is. There's that word. To all those who have loved his shining forth. Not the parousia, not the coming of the Lord, not the physical coming of the Lord. He's coming for these people who have the epiphany. And the epiphany is that shining forth of the glory of Jesus Christ, which is the glorification of his name in you, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read that again, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that have loved his appearing, or epiphany, shining forth. That's God's promise. You know, we have to expect this shining forth. We have to receive it now. That's what faith, it's the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. You know, 2 John chapter 7, I told you about that Antichrist gospel that you're hearing in a lot of the churches out there. You see, the devil doesn't want this glory of Christ, this revelation of the glory of Christ that's been given to you freely. He doesn't want you to get this revelation, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. And he's been doing quite a good job through the pulpits to keep this from being revealed to his people, to God's people. Verse 7, for many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. Folks, you know what he's talking about here? He's not talking about Jesus coming in flesh again. Jesus is never coming in flesh again. The only flesh he's coming in is yours and mine flesh. The appearing, the epiphany of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And the Antichrist gospel is that you can't have a hope that Jesus will live in you. You just got to settle for forgiveness. You just accept Jesus as your Savior and live the rest of your life as a sinner, saved by grace. But you know what these people don't know? They don't know that grace actually saves. That grace actually saves from sin. That grace actually delivers you from sin. If you believe in the reconciliation, if you look in the mirror and see Jesus, if you accept what the gospel says about you, you see, folks, there's a first fruits company that are coming into this image right now because they're believing the gospel. But many of you have heard these deceivers in the pulpits. They don't confess that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist, the Lord says. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. You see, many enter the kingdom with us. They're all eager to know the Lord, to know his ways. There are many ready to lead them astray with Antichrist gospels. Just accept Jesus. Believe easy. All fly away. Unconditional eternal security. Ultimate reconciliation gospels. lies of the devil will take away all of your motivation to come into the image of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, not the teaching of the modern day apostate religions, but the teaching of the gospel, the true teaching that was given us in the scriptures. He that abideth not in the teaching, the same hath both, that abideth in the teaching hath the same as both the Father and the Son. So, whosoever goeth onward. In other words, when you come into the kingdom, and you've got a born-again spirit, and if you obey that born-again spirit, you will have a born-again soul, which is his nature, his character, his authority, in your mind and in your actions. And if you don't obey that born-again spirit, you may be going onward, but you're not abiding in the teaching. Multitudes start in the kingdom with us. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, God's about to bring forth a chosen people to lead his people back to the way of righteousness, to the gospel, to the signs and wonders, to the miracles. But, folks, those people that started out with you, they may not be abiding with you in fighting the good fight of faith. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. What is it to abide in Jesus Christ? 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. So you know, folks, that Antichrist gospel that you hear out there of just accept Jesus, you're a shoo-in. Remember what Jesus said in the parable of the sower? He shared the gospel in the parable of the sower with four different groups of people there. And one out of the four gave good ground to the seed, and it bore fruit. 30, 60, and 100-fold. You know what the fruit is? Do you know who the man-child is? The man-child is called the first fruits. 144,000 is called the first fruits. What is that fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus sowed the seed in their hearts in the parable of the sower. The seed is the sperma of God. He sowed that in their hearts, and it brought forth the fruit. Now, the sperma that Jesus sows brings forth himself. It is himself. It's not another Jesus, like Paul talked about. There's another Jesus being preached in the churches today. A Jesus that doesn't expect you to come into his image at all, or doesn't offer to you the possibility of you coming into his image and bearing his fruit. Instead, multitudes of God's people are bearing the fruit of another Jesus. A religious spirit, a false Jesus, an antichrist Jesus, because they're listening to an antichrist gospel. Now, the man-child ministry that's coming, these are the people who are the first in these days, in the days that Paul spoke about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, who believe this mystery that's been hidden for ages. They're the first ones that are going to come into the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again, folks. He's coming as an epiphany before he comes as a parousia. He's coming in his people who believe his word. He's coming to be manifested in his people, walk the earth, just like we read there in Hosea. And he's going to teach his flock. Yes, it's going to be Jesus. We're not called the body of Christ for nothing. It's going to be Jesus. And you're going to see these people show up very soon. And I hope you don't, like a lot of the church world, mistake them. Because let me tell you what they're going to look like. They're going to look just like the first Jesus that came. That's right. They're not going to look anything like what a lot of the religions are expecting. A Jesus in their own image that they have perverted. See? This Jesus that's coming is going to look just like the first Jesus. with the same power, with the same anointing. And you know what these Pharisees are going to say? He's doing his works by Beelzebub. Same thing they're saying in these days when the saints of God are manifesting the power of God. These are apostates. They're sons of their father, the devil, just what Jesus told them in that day. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to be manifested in God's people, moving out of God's people, ministering through God's people. Awesome. Awesome signs and wonders are coming. And it's very, very soon, folks. And when you see these people, I hope you recognize them and pay attention to them and know that God is confirming his word through them in signs and wonders and miracles. That's right. They're not only sharing truth. God's confirming it like he did with the first disciples with signs and wonders and miracles. He's going to confirm it. So get ready. Because the whole Christian apostate religious world is going to come against them, speak against these people, make war on these people. We call them the harlot in the Bible, by the way. Oh, I know they want to make the Catholic Church the harlot, but no, they're daughters of that harlot. Did you know in Revelation 17 it called the daughters the harlots? The daughters were the harlots. The mother of the harlots, it says. Oh, yes. They are a corporate body called the harlot. All together, they're a corporate body called the harlot. And yes, they're going to make war on the saints. They're going to make war on the man-child. But the same thing that happened in Jesus' day is going to happen again. The man-child is going forth in the signs and wonders and miracles to raise up the church in the same image. See, God's not satisfied with just having the first fruits to come into that image. His plan is to bring the body into that image. And those that refuse, well, they can go back. But like in Jesus' day, what they called Christians, folks, think about it. What they called Christians in Jesus' day were people who walked in his holiness, were people who walked in his power, were people that believed the full gospel, were people that believed in signs and wonders, were people that baptized people, were people that did the works of Jesus. Jesus hadn't changed his mind. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. John 14:12. Jesus hadn't changed his mind. The rest of that out there is the Antichrist gospel. It is deceiving God's people in the same way that the Jews had perverted Judaism to deceive God's people to not understand and not to perceive Jesus when he showed up. You know, multitudes of Christians will not recognize this prophet. You remember what Moses said? A prophet shall the Lord thy God raise up unto thee like unto me. And everyone that doesn't hearken unto the words of that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. See, God's going to confirm his word with signs and wonders. And the people are going to be without excuse. Because it's going to be the pure truth that's coming forth. God is going to very quickly raise up the people of God, the true elect of God, to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, to abide in him. Awesome. Signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be manifested through, yeah, just the common church folks, just the common believers, you know, because that's what Christians were in the beginning. We've been in a great falling away, and a worse falling away is coming through the mark of the beast. Multitudes of what we call Christians are going to take the mark of the beast. I tell you that in the name of Jesus. Multitudes of them. Because they don't know God. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching hath both the Father and the Son. Who is it that abides in Christ? Those that have the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:24. And those that have that which was given in the beginning. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you. My Lord Jesus.